Hello, nurse station.
Calling all oncology nurses.
Are you ready to sharpen your practice, maximize your impact, and stay on the cutting edge of oncology care?
Then you found the right place. Welcome to Onc Nurse On Call. We're your hosts, Patricia Jekyll
and Stephanie DeRogier. Join us on the new podcast by Oncology Nursing News as we deliver maximum value in minimal time.
Every minute counts. Let's make it count for your patients. Welcome, Lillian. Thank you for being here for us. And as you are aware, you work at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York City, who has been the leader in integrative oncology. Having said that, could you please tell us about your clinic and the services offered and what exactly as a PA your role is in helping patients?
Of course, yes. Thank you for having me. So I'm Lillian Rodich. I'm the PA on the Integrative Medicine Adult Service at Memorial Sloan Kettering. I've been practicing on the service since 2021 and have been with MSK for about 8 years overall. My experience has been for the last decade in hem-onc in various ways, especially with blood cancers, bone marrow transplants, CAR T cells, but also always having this passion and working with a deeper sort of understanding of holistic care. So when this position opened up, I knew that this was where I was sort of meant to be and finally ended up sort of making a full circle moment for myself there. So thank you for noting even how sort of significant Memorial Sloan Kettering's Integrative Center is. It was founded in 1999. It was founded by Barry Casaleth, and having a female physician really found that at that time is also of significance. She, at the same time that she founded the Integrative Medicine Service, also founded the Society for Integrative Oncology, which is now a worldwide international organization. So within MSK, we do have many outpatient services. Patients are able to have consultations with either myself, one of our nurse practitioners, or one of our physicians, which is also really special for me as an advanced practice provider to get to have that autonomy. We have a lot of hands-on modalities that can help patients, including acupuncture, medical massage therapy, music therapy. We have a lot of virtual programs as well. As we know, a lot of patients that come to MSK don't necessarily live really close to a center. They could be in the tri-state area. They can be in a, you know, a farther away state. And so coming in person sometimes is difficult for them. So we do offer a lot of virtual programs, virtual mind-body classes, exercise classes, workshops on different symptoms and different topics. And then also, I do want to highlight the very large pediatric integrative medicine program that we have. And so a lot of what we would consider to be sort of inpatient happens on that pediatric floor. And all of their services are thankfully able to be done in that space so that the families and the kids don't have to have a whole other appointment.
Great. And I'm going to tell my little part of being part of integrative oncology at Memorial Sloan. We actually started a very small massage program probably 25 years ago based on a very small study that I did. And we were able to send nurses there to actually train in therapeutic cancer massage. And Dr. Barry was amazing and wonderful. And don't forget your herb to drug interaction website, which is fabulous. And when I was in clinical practice, I used it all the time. That's an amazing website for people that need to know that information.
That is our bread and butter, really, of our service, you know, and again, such a great reminder when we do go to, you know, these large conferences or we meet, you know, providers from other institutions, everyone is using about herbs. And so that is something that, you know, we are constantly trying to improve to keep up with. And I don't know what I would do without it. And I do think that that's also when we're talking about, you know, a lot of times how other providers outside of our little group can get involved. That's one of the best and easiest ways to start, right? Download the app, know about herbs, because I always say, the first step is really having that open conversation with patients. And so you don't have to be an expert on, 100 herbs, but having that conversation, if someone comes to you and they say, "Hey, a family member brought me this, this herb. Should I take this?" Being able to say, "I don't know about it, but you know what I have about herbs on my phone? Let's look it up together. Oh, look, it looks like maybe it has an interaction with your chemo. Better not take it." Well, now the patient and you have this really great level of trust. And now they're more likely to also discuss with you other things they're taking, other ideas they have, versus if a patient comes to you and they have this question, the provider goes, "Nah, don't take that. All of that kind of stuff doesn't work. Forget it." They're going to go, "Well, okay, this person's not open to talking about this." How much more likely are
Right.
they then to take things that we don't even know about it? We could have side effects, interactions, and we don't know what they're taking. So bridging that gap, one of the best and fastest and easiest ways to do that is to download About Herbs and utilize it.
Absolutely. And those are really good points about not slamming the door on patients' choices, because you really do lose the trust of the patient if you just say, no, don't take anything. And I hope everybody downloads the app. I forget about the apps. I'm dating myself. I still go to the website. So I'm going to download the app. So thank you for that information. So I'm an advanced practice oncology provider, and I want to do what you do. And you kind of gave your journey to that. What kind of education and certification did you need to get to this point?
There's not necessarily a standard of practice amongst integrative medicine providers overall. We have various certifications, various backgrounds that does allow us to be a good fit for these positions. Hopefully, we do have some more standardization down the road. I myself, my background is in nutrition, and so my bachelor's of science is in nutritional sciences. And then I was lucky enough during my PA school studies to have a couple of rotations that were integrative medicine. So my first elective was integrative medicine, my pediatric rotation was integrative medicine. And so I did get some hands-on training there. But for most people, what they do and what hopefully I even will do at some point is a fellowship. And so fellowships historically were for MDs, and now they are thankfully open to APPs. And so the fellowship, the most well-known one is the University of Arizona, Dr. Andrew Weil one. And so that is the Integrative Medicine Fellowship. There is another program that I would love to highlight, and that is through SIO, the Society for Integrative Oncology, and that is their Integrative Scholars Program. This is really more targeted towards integrative oncology. It took me about 8 years to have a position like this, right? They don't come along all that often. If it's something you're passionate about, get the certification. Keep, teaching yourself about it. Keep educating yourself on this topic. Join SIO, go to integrative conferences, do things, and then the job will come, and then you'll be the perfect candidate for it, rather than having a position open up, say at your institution or somewhere else, thinking, "Oh, I want to apply for this. This sounds great, but I don't have any of this training. I'm not going to be a great candidate." So don't let the fact that there's not, this overwhelming number of positions out there stop you from doing the training. Do some of the training, keep educating yourself on this topic, and the jobs will come. I think what we're seeing, and we can show hospitals so much more now, is patients want this, right? Patients want this to be a part of their journey. And so we see that sometimes with, with our wait list, right? And so if we're having, months long wait lists, that's proof that patients want to see us. We need more positions open, and hopefully we can get more providers in this space.
Lillian, I think you're preaching to the choir with what you said, is that, oftentimes people wait until they see the perfect job online, but it's better to be prepared. And when that job opens up, and do your part so that you're ready when that perfect job does open up. And that's so valuable what you said. I'm going to talk a little bit now just about your clinical practice. So my first question for you is, what would you say are the three most common side effects that you treat in your practice based on evidence-based recommendations going through active treatment?
Of course, this is the time in the journey where symptom management is really our top priority. And that's also sometimes something that we have to remind patients of, if that makes sense. So sometimes if someone's coming to an integrative consult and we can't do everything all at once, right? And so sometimes like the focus needs to be on symptom management, and we'll deal with some of the bigger picture, long-term life health goal ideas, down the road. As much as we want them to have, great healthy practices during this time, it's also not the right time to maybe go on a full-blown detox or go from eating, a diet that they've had for 50 years to going, 100% vegan. So not a time for like major huge changes, right? But when we're talking about symptoms, I would say the first one that comes to mind is nausea, right? And so with many of the chemotherapies, unfortunately, this is one of the main things we see. It might be a surprising answer, but the first thing I go through is, are they actually taking their antiemetics, right? And so I remind people this, that word integrative means so much to us. I'm not trying to give only alternatives to standard of care treatment. And so much of the time, patients have really horrible nausea and they maybe have taken one dose of an antiemetic in days, right? And so they're not keeping up with those meds. So then even if I was to introduce more complementary measures, they might not work quite as well as they would if they had the actual drug therapies on board as at the same time. And so first going through their medications and making sure that that's in a good place. Then we might be able to introduce something like acupuncture. This is shown to have benefit on a lot of GI symptoms, including nausea, as we have a lot of anti-nausea points on our body. I may show them personally just where their own P6 pressure point is and how to utilize and stimulate that on their wrist. Sometimes we introduce herbs, teas. Sometimes it's a little bit of diet talk of what to do when they're nauseous and how to prevent it. So a little bit of a mixture. The second one, similar to this, I suppose, but the second one is a decrease in appetite and therefore a decrease in weight. And this is really sort of my bread and butter and what I talk about a lot with patients. And so this really has to do with a very thorough sort of dietary counseling visit. And the one thing that I want to highlight here is that patients need really specific ideas, right? Just telling somebody, eat more or eat small meals many times, throughout the day. Like that's not specific enough for them. And so giving them, little tidbits, little ideas of, how to sneak different things in to optimize calorie intake so that it all adds up at the end of the day, and how to optimize maybe what their taste buds are wanting, since there's so much of that taste bud changes going on as well. And so if you can get somebody to eat something that actually tastes good to their taste buds and is high calorie but still healthy, they're going to get through that treatment, losing less weight, having a better appetite overall, and then their GI tract will be a little bit more intact. And then the third would definitely have to be fatigue. Fatigue is, both an issue during active treatment as well as afterwards because of its cumulative effect. And this is where I really, really try to preach movement-based therapies and activity. I think that there is still this sort of, call it a myth, call it an old school thought of, your body only needs rest in this active treatment period. And yes, while rest is great, Rest isn't necessarily always going to create new energy cells and create new energy in our body like movement can, right? And so we say a lot of the time, body in motion stays in motion, and that principle doesn't just go away during active treatment. So look, I'm not telling anyone to to train for a marathon during active treatment, though I have had patients who have, but they can, it doesn't have to be an all or nothing approach. And that one sentence I find myself saying almost every single visit, especially when I have patients who were incredibly active in the past. And then they kind of go, well, I can't do the things I used to do because what they were doing was really intense. So I'm just going to do nothing. And so finding that middle ground, maybe it's some nice yoga practices, maybe it's Tai Chi, maybe it's a walking program, maybe it's, Qigong or some really light weight training with bands instead of heavy weights. Like we can still incorporate all that, get energy up, maybe even get digestion and appetite up, right? That's the beauty of some of these therapies is they have so much cross coverage over symptoms. But this is the, there's nothing that's going to work on that fatigue like moving our bodies.
So true. My background also is bone marrow transplant and CAR T. And the first thing patients, when they would say, "I'm so tired," and you say, "You have to get up, you have to stay active," they look at you and it's like, "What?"
Yeah, but
But
I'm
that is the
resting
best
here.
treatment.
Yeah,
Yes.
exactly. We always on BMT, we have a provider who comes in every morning for rounds, says the bed is for sleeping only. Like if patients were eating in it, she would tell them, nope, gotta get up, gotta eat in the chair. The bed is for sleeping only, so that they're not spending those 3 weeks there just lying in bed the whole time. Yeah.
And getting weaker and weaker.
Exactly. And that's, I think, why out of all of these symptoms, fatigue's the most cumulative and the most long-lasting one,
Yeah,
right? The appetite
so
bounces
true.
back, nausea stops once you stop chemo, but fatigue doesn't. And so the other statement that I find myself saying is, you can't wait for this sort of magical day to feel better to start moving, right? You have to start moving. And then your body will feel better and get the effects of that, and then it'll be easier to continue. But don't wait for this magic day where you wake up and you go, I think I've got energy to go on that walk today. That might not come for months. We
Right.
don't want you to be living with that fatigue for that long.
Right. And that's the second part of my question. So now we're moving into survivorship. What are the three most common side effects that you see with that population?
Sure. So the first one that comes to mind is maybe a little bit more targeted towards our breast patients. We do have a really robust and great breast survivorship program. And so we are seeing a lot of those patients. And so the first sort of group or symptom cluster that comes to mind is my patients on the hormone therapies, and so all of the menopausal symptoms that come with that, whether it be hot flashes or joint pain, trouble sleeping, etc. And so I would say those are again somewhere an area where we have to do a lot of symptom management. And so this could look like utilizing acupuncture. So a couple of years ago now, ASCO actually has highlighted acupuncture as a first line treatment option for AI related joint pain. This is one of the first times, if not the first time, where a holistic measure like this is a first line treatment option, not somewhere down in the fine print. And so highlighting something like that, that this can be added on board. It's not another pill to take, and then this symptom can improve. So while these symptoms we're first talking about are a little more physical, I would say the next is probably anxiety. Anxiety over recurrence, right? And so that is such a common and difficult one in the survivorship journey. And so this is where we really want to highlight our mind-body therapies and try to get patients to incorporate these things to get that connection back between their mind and their body. I think what happens a lot of times during active treatment is that it's this sort of, go, 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 headlights on, what's the next thing I've got to do kind of practice, which is what you need to do to get through it. And then you come into the survivorship part, and your body may feel somewhat back to normal, right? You're back to work, you're back to to family duties, you're back to life, and your brain is kind of going, wait, what just happened to us? And so when we have those mind-body practices on board and we get that connection back, I think that that's when the magic happens. And that's when we can really reconcile with feelings of anxiety over recurrence. We can deal with, the grief that comes with the diagnosis. We can deal with a lot of the mental struggle that is sometimes needed to be put in the background to get through it. And now it's here and we have to sort of, come to a head with it.
Those are all great. And my last question, I'll turn you back over to Patty, is, you've been doing this for a while now, and with all of the changes with commercial payers and Medicare, Medi-Cal, are you seeing that insurances are now covering the treatments that you offer?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this can always be better, right? And so I think that that is an area where integrative medicine, it shouldn't be for the privileged few. It should be standard of care practice for all patients, no matter where they're receiving care. And we are inching our way there, but we're certainly not there yet. So for us personally, we thankfully all of our consults, all of our visits with our providers are all covered, just like every MSK visit. We had a huge win in 2025 in being able to bill insurance for acupuncture, but the patient still has to have insurance that covers acupuncture. Another big win is Medicare does cover acupuncture for chronic low back pain, which a lot of patients don't know about. So that actually helps out a lot of our maybe older, lower income Medicare patients. That is a symptom that's covered, and it's such a common symptom that, shouldn't be too difficult to get acupuncture covered for that. We also have thankfully partnered with the Ralph Lauren Center, which historically helps our underserved lower income patients in New York. And since 2022, we have been able to incorporate massage, acupressure, and acupuncture there through a philanthropic fund. As far as some of our other services, I would say the best that we've been able to do is just keep things as low cost as possible, so that patients can incorporate this without that burden. And so, for example, our virtual program, which you can join from any state, is really robust. I think there's about 3 to 5 classes a day, 7 days a week. They're live, they're very interactive, and that's $25 a month. And so that is something that we've never raised the price on. It is what it is. And I would say the last thing is, even if that's a lot for somebody, YouTube, right? YouTube and maybe a free version of mind body apps, and different things that we can incorporate. So I always do try to be thoughtful of meeting the patient where they are. Right. If somebody doesn't have acupuncture coverage in their insurance and they're, maybe struggling to even get fresh food, well, maybe my visit isn't going to be, so focused on, acupuncture and buying herbs or supplements. Maybe it's going to be, let's find, a resource that can, get fresh food to your home. Or if you, go to this place on this day, this is where we, have partnered with a farm to table kind of organization that gets, fruits and vegetables to people for free or low cost. And so meeting the patient where they are and really trying to have your recommendations mirror that. It is an important part of integrative medicine, unfortunately, because it's still not, it's not all covered.
I really like your statement about saying if the patient's coming in for symptom management and they can't find fresh food, that's my number one priority. I'm not going to bring up acupuncture because you're right. We have to meet patients absolutely where they are. So, brilliant answer. Thank you very much.
Of course, of course. And I will say too, just to kind of add to that, something I I just kind of noticed like a little bit of a I guess an observation over the years is that whatever a patient's support system is, family, friends, members of their church, members of their neighborhood, people want to help, right? People really want to help during this kind of journey for somebody. And a lot of times they don't know what to do, and so they end up doing sort of unhelpful things because they're just not sure, right? And so say somebody is, maybe struggling with mobility after a surgery and they're not getting, the right food in their house, and you've got a neighbor who keeps coming by bringing them, bags of supplements. Well, ask that neighbor, "Hey, you know what? I'm actually good on this, but what I could use help with is a grocery store trip, or help with, grabbing, some of these things that I got delivered, or maybe cooking, help me meal prep, help me, cook up some of this stuff." And so I really encourage patients and families to ask for what they need, because it is always a win-win situation. The patient and the family gets what they need. The person helping gets this, this benefit of actually helping and feeling good in that way. So don't hesitate to ask for what you actually need. I think that's really important to remember.
That's it for this episode of Onc Nurse On Call. You can find the detailed show notes at www.oncnursingnews.com.
If you found value in this episode, hit subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review. It helps other oncology nurses find our show.
Join us again in 2 weeks for another power-packed evidence-based episode.
Until then, keep leading with excellence.